The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome into the Celtics Life Pod, our 81st CL Pod. Today we're talking about the C's recent play and the ups and downs of the last week. Plus we're discussing whether a young Celtic is going to be on the move. As always, thank you for listening and please subscribe. And we'd always appreciate if you dropped us a 5-star rating or left a review to help us be seen. I'm Topher Lane here with Mark Allison. Mark, how's it going, dude?
Good, man. What's going on?
It's been a while. Been a minute.
Yeah. We haven't done one together in a long time.
Yeah. Well, we're here. We got some stuff to talk about. We'll jump in with just how the C's are doing. Started off strong since we've had a pod last with the Milwaukee game. And the C's really took it to the Bucks, the like best team in the East at the time, and arguably still.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge win. And then a couple of lackluster, disappointing losses after. I mean, at least the Pacers game was close.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was on the road. Easily could have won. Those games are going to be mixed in. That's not so bad. The Denver loss was a little more discouraging. We got smoked by Jamal Murray.
I don't know which hurts more. Yeah, was it the I don't know if the Pacers game hurt more because it was so close and that it should have been
because they could have stole it. Right, yeah.
It wasn't even a steal. It's that we just dropped
it. Yeah.
The shot that Kyrie makes 90 times out of 100, 95 mm-hmm. times out of 100, he makes that shot. And
he made three threes before that to keep us in the game, too.
Yeah.
It's like he was shooting great that night.
Yeah. And then the turnover on the play that could have tied it up again. It was tough, you know.
That's right. That had the Hayward inbounds pass. That was kind of it was a kind of a sour ending. You felt like it was kind of like a little bit on Stevens there, kind of a weird execution at the end. Obviously, he's not the one passing the ball, but maybe that wasn't the best decision, bringing in Hayward cold like that for that.
I think what they were going to try and do was they were going to kick it to somebody on the wing, and then Hayward was going to go straight to the corner and be open for mm-hmm. a three. Is I think what the play was supposed to be, but I think it was Smart who was on the wing. I need to look back at the replay, but I think it was Smart who was mm-hmm. on the wing, just could not get open. So I think that was what the approach was going to be. Mm-hmm. And instead, he couldn't find that, so he just went for like Kyrie in the paint on the far side of the paint, and just passed mm-hmm. it straight to Oladipo.
So, don't you think too if they did inbound it to Smart, like everyone runs away from him, like please shoot it,
but that would have been probably a good call. Yeah. So that one was rough, and then Denver, Jamal Murray just went, it was unreal. Kyrie did his crazy, I don't know, hissy fit, tantrum
at the end there.
Yeah, so where he just
How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, he got fined, right? He got fined the $25,000 for mm-hmm. just the bad attitude. Mm-hmm. As far as the actual move, I don't think it's a huge. I like Jaylen Brown's perspective on it, where he's like, you know, it's not the nicest thing to do, but like whatever, we'll see him again. And that's I would prefer that Kyrie just take that attitude and play it on the court the next time that we see the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. I think it should put a chip on the Celtics shoulder because of just, I mean, there is a respect. There is an unspoken respect of that. You don't take that shot, and he didn't earn 50, you know, he didn't get 50 points.
Right.
Don't put up those like fake numbers and put up 50 simply because you're unguarded at the end of the game.
Yeah.
It's just a crummy thing to do, I think, but it's not like a huge problem for me.
How about you? Think about last year when Kyrie. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, whatever. I could see being a little chippy about it. I mean, but I think what it does work in our favor is remember last year when we had the Kyrie Irving, the suck my dick, that whole
against Philly
thing. And then the Celtics, you know, he got fined for that. I think he got fined 25K. And then they went on a like 16 game winning streak after that. Kind of rallied the troops. And that was when they were kind of on the skids a little bit. Maybe, you know, has the same kind of effect. I mean, maybe he knew what to – he was doing something to help charge up his guys, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, don't let people disrespect us. You know, we're the Celtics. We're going to, you know, dominate this Eastern Conference. And maybe that's kind of like a, you know, whatever. No digs. I mean, well, it's not really a dig, but you know what I mean. No disrespect at all.
Yeah, well, so
– I don't know. It could have a cool effect.
It could.
A good effect, anyway.
What did Marcus Smart – Marcus Smart said he, like, threatened him or something? Or he said, like, after the game, he told, like, Murray, he's like, hey, man, like, we're definitely going to destroy you next year. I don't remember what he said, but there was a threat or something.
Yeah, so when Murray first takes the shot and then he goes over towards his bench and then he turns around and reacts. Like, it was like a close-up, so you can't really see what he was reacting to. And – he obviously didn't hear Kyrie throw the ball into the stands. So, I mean, he didn't react to that. It must have been Marcus Smart chirping him as he was walking off.
I like that.
Because when I watched – yeah, and when I watched that – and then that's, I think, probably the better way to go about it, except that Kyrie got, like, all the press because of what he did, and no one would have said anything about Marcus Smart saying that. You know what I mean?
I didn't need them to say something. Just make it
– No.
You know? Just give them the attitude. Have Murray have it in the back of his head the next time it comes out. I'm sure Marcus can have some hard fouls on him the next time they play the Nuggets.
Sure.
The finals.
And the other thing is too, I don't know.
I love how you didn't even
I don't know what Jamal Murray, like, I don't know what he's like. So, you know, is that something that might rattle him because he did that and now he's like, oh, geez, like second guessing, like,
nah.
I don't know. You know, like some things like that can get under people's skin. It may seem like, oh, yeah, it was kind of a whatever it was, but. You know, some people don't react to things like that very well.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool.
Like, whereas other guys, you know, they thrive off of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's probably nothing, but at the same time, you never know.
Yeah. How do you feel about that 1-3, or 1-2 week, I guess, since we've potted last? We have, you know, there were a couple things that have gone on in that we've seen Jaylen, who's back from a foot injury, and he's still not quite there, maybe. You know, Hayward is still... I saw some tweets of people being upset saying he doesn't deserve the minutes that he's getting. And do you think that's warranted based on the play that he's giving? I mean, he does need to ease back into it, and I think the player that he was deserves those minutes, but he's not quite there yet. What do you think about that?
Which are we talking about, Hayward or Jaylen?
Well, I mean, choose one of the two. I mean, it's... You know, I mean, I think Jaylen...
So with Hayward, it's like, I don't mind seeing them play in the minutes because you're just trying to get him back into game shape. And, you know, that's going to take some time. Obviously, a year off the NBA, it's going to take him some time to get adjusted back to the game speed. So, I mean, I don't mind seeing them play him, even if he doesn't quite look like himself all the time, because you need him to knock that dust off. But with Jaylen, if he's hurt, like, there's no need for him to be out there when there's other guys.
Well, we saw Semi play really well,
right?
When he filled in, he started for Jaylen,
yeah,
in the win against the Bucks, and Semi looked good, man.
Yeah,
I mean, so I don't mind having Jaylen out. You know, I mean, not obviously. I think he's a better player, and I'd prefer to have him on the court. But like, I don't mind giving him the time to recover when we have the depth that we do,
right?
And clearly, there it worked out well enough. So I don't mind letting him kind of recover because if he's feeling crummy and he doesn't want to be out there on the court. Or like he's in pain, it's going to affect his play, and we might be better off with the guy who's, you know, 100%.
Yeah, I just don't see any reason to make it worse when you have these other bodies and eligible guys to play. You know, there's no need to do that.
Yeah. Also, part of that 1-2 stretch was Jason Tatum, and there's been some kind of conversation about how he. I mean, we've heard constantly how he worked out with Kobe this summer. Just constantly, and he seems to be playing very Kobe-esque, but without, I guess, the ability that Kobe had so far. Does he need to start stepping away and go back to his game from last season? What do you think as far, because he seems to be just, he's not doing himself any favors with these difficult pull-up shots from mid-range.
No.
I mean, it looks like Kobe, but it's just not, it's not translating.
It's like when you got to pick and choose when that's appropriate. Like if your team is not able, you guys can't get good open shots, and you can't, yes, he has the ability to like hit those turnarounds and stuff like that. And if you're feeling it, you're feeling it. You know, I mean, we saw him a couple games early this season. He looked like Kobe. And then
the Knicks game. Great.
But
example.
Then, right. Like at what point is it like, you know, geez, like we need to move the ball and get good looks and, you know, either open threes or more importantly, get the ball in the paint. Like, it's definitely, he definitely needs to pick and choose when that's, you know, when that's going to work. I mean, cause like, I'm looking at the stats right now. He's only shooting just over 40% from the field.
Yeah. It's a big drop off. From
last
season.
I mean, 35 from three. This is a guy who led the league in 3-point percentage for like half the season last year. So clearly he's not, you know, he's not necessarily taking, and last year he let the game come to him. Until the end of the year when we were without Kyrie, we were obviously without Gordon. And then the playoffs, him and Jalen like carried the load offensively along with Rozier. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like that's not needed right now. And I just think, they got to do a better job of keeping him reined in where it's like, you know, you don't want to discourage him from shooting, but at the same time, like make sure you're getting high quality looks and save that stuff for when it's needed, you know? There's no need to be taking those Kobe like turnaround 18 footers, you know, in the first quarter of a game.
Maybe because I agree, but to play devil's advocate here, maybe if he just keeps doing that, he'll start just to become lethal with those shots.
What,
and then, you know, come playoffs, because I mean, we are struggling on offense, and
no, sure.
Right now it's not the biggest deal because it's early season and whatever. I mean, the East isn't strong enough that we're going to miss him. The playoffs or anything. It'd be nice to have home court, but you know, it's like there's the ability for him to mess around right now against these teams, and like, you know, against Phoenix tonight, maybe he can do these ridiculous Kobe-esque moves, and it won't be a huge problem because, you know, it's Phoenix and we may win regardless. Or like when he did it against New York, it worked out. You know, so maybe he'll just get better, and he just needs the reps.
Yeah, and I mean, that's fine, but I think he needs to pick and choose his spots a little bit better. I don't mind seeing him take the shots, but, you know, when this is a guy who he can get to the rim, so I'd like to see him do a little bit more of that and, mix in those shots here and there because he can hit them. And we saw that in the first few games this year. So, I don't want to discourage him from doing that at all, but at the same time, you know, a little more pick and choose there.
Yeah. Well, so in the news today and a lot of stuff coming out right before we were recording is the possibility of Terry Rozier, your guy, Scary Terry, maybe being on the move. Bill Simmons tweeted today as of recording on Wednesday that he's unhappy with his playing time. And then Shams Charania followed up, you know, maybe 30 minutes ago that there are a bunch of teams that are interested, 7+. Mm-hmm. So, is this, and I was reading as much as I could in the couple minutes leading up to this, but how do you feel about the possibility of trading Terry Rozier? Because the Seas don't have to. We could let him walk. I mean, the money probably isn't there for both he and Kyrie, but we could hold on to him and hold on to him for a playoff run because the depth is huge. Or we make a trade and get assets, maybe guys who can play now. I don't know. What there's a bunch of different ways this could go, but how do you feel about the kind of stuff that's coming out today?
Yeah. So obviously I love Terry, but I think he becomes more expendable when we've already heard at the beginning of the season that Kyrie is basically said like he's willing to re-sign here long-term, but obviously he's going to wait till the season's over. So, if you feel good about Kyrie's knee and you feel like he's, you know, you're going to do that. And I mean, really, what are you going to do? I mean, we've already got Marcus Smart. We already know that Marcus Smart thrives in that, you know, off the bench point guard role. Obviously it'd be nice to have all three of them, but it's really not going to be fiscally possible after this season, right? So,
yeah.
I think it's probably the right move to do. And if Ainge thinks that, then he's definitely going to do it. But I like the idea of going into the season and seeing what they had first. Did you lose a little bit of Terry's value by waiting to go into the season? Because, he came off great playoffs last year, and then now he's not playing.
I don't think he lost any value.
It doesn't sound like it, just because, I mean, we had Phoenix knocking down our door for him after the playoffs. They felt like he was a point guard they could help, build around. And they're still basically the front runner. So, I mean, really, they know what they're looking at. And I think at least when you're in the season, some teams get desperate, pull the trigger on some crazy deals before the deadline. And we know Ainge isn't one to just necessarily wait till the deadline. I mean, back when we traded Rondo years ago, that was in December, January.
Yeah, it was.
He's not going to just hold him up to the deadline just to do that. If he finds the right deal comes along, he will. But yeah. I mean, what are you looking for back? Like a middle to high, maybe 10, around 10, 15, somewhere in between there, first round pick for him, and then maybe a player like a role player, that someone that you can fit in that doesn't necessarily need those kind of minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what the trade would look like, and partially because I haven't really assessed this team's needs yet, as far as what we're missing. I think
the jury's still out there. So right.
Yeah, and that's why it's hard to say, because we need scoring. Maybe TJ Warren, if we really want true scorer from the Suns.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what his contract. This is where we need Justin, because he's the one who knows all this stuff.
Right.
But
maybe a knockdown shooter. That's the only, if I thought of that right now, like a Korver type, 3-point specialist guy.
Younger Korver, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. But at the same time, like you said, I think that Ainge is also waiting to see what this team needs, right? Doesn't it make more sense to wait till January, February, closer to the deadline to say, hey, we know what we need. Do we need another big? Do we need, especially with the Tice injury now, maybe we do. We will need another big. Because if he's not going to be healthy, then we certainly will.
Yeah. News came out about that it's going to be a shorter recovery than I think they were initially expecting, though, right?
Right. They're talking a month, right?
Yeah, I think it went. I don't remember exactly the numbers, but it's not as consequential as I think everyone was expecting.
Right.
So, somewhat good news there. And then, we'll talk about Rob Williams in a little bit and all of, his contributions in Maine and stuff and how he's been looking so far. But bigs could be something to chase. It's not that we're weak in any particular regard outside of just scoring, but I think it's something that just will fix itself as the
season. And what needs to be fortified. And then at that point too, are you going to be comfortable with your point guard situation? With Kyrie, Smart,
Brad Wanamaker.
Yeah. Right. I mean, how much do you want him playing? Cause he would then have a role. Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't think with all this news coming out now, like Bill Simmons saying this is an imminent deal. I could not see, unless Ainge gets bowled over right now. He's not giving up Rozier until he knows maybe what this team needs.
Would
right?
you be fine because, holding him? And letting him walk?
And just let him walk at the end of the year? Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. If you're a team and you think you're competing this year and you think that Terry Rozier is an integral piece and, you think he's going to be necessary to get us, into the mix, into the finals, I'm cool with that. You can't always get assets for guys, right?
Yeah.
That we're pretty good about doing that, but at the same time, there's going to come up times where it doesn't work out. And if they feel that he's essential to build as a championship contender, then fine, let him walk. It happens to other teams all the time.
Yeah. What would you do? Would you hold him or trade him? Is it just contingent on the offer for you?
I think it would have to be contingent on the offer. Like I said, if you could get a pretty high first for him, a lottery pick. And even if it's a late lottery pick, and then a player that will help you, even if he's expiring or on a deal that you have for this year or next year that's reasonable, I think that's I think that's legit. I don't know. What do you think?
I would hold him. You know, unless there's a ridiculous offer, I would just accept that we need him. And that,
yeah,
you know, whatever. And then maybe, I mean, I think we'll, in that situation, we'd, you know, send out a qualifying offer and see what happens. And then maybe we just don't match whatever, because he's a restricted free agent.
Right.
Summer. So,
right.
It's not like.
It's like it would definitely be, right. It's not like they couldn't keep him if they really wanted to.
Yeah.
They could. So, they're going to be weighing the tax, but it's not out of the question.
I think I'd rather hold on to him, and just because we know that he works with his team. Mm-hmm. We know that he's a great starter behind Kyrie if there are any issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like losing that depth at the guard, which has been such a volatile position for us with the fact of Kyrie's health. And I still am not entirely convinced that Kyrie can stay healthy. And maybe, you know, by December, by February, I will be.
Yeah, and I think that'll become more clear by then, too.
Yeah, right? I'm definitely not sitting in the Celtics front office today taking these phone calls saying, like, we have to do something because Bill Simmons tweeted that he's not happy with his minutes. We have to figure it out. So
I'm not
worried about it. I would hold on to him, to be honest. I think that'd be a better call long term.
Yeah, and I think that that's the case. And as we get closer to the deadline, it'll be assessed. Obviously, Danny Ainge isn't going to turn down any offer that bowls him over. So if he gets a deal that he feels is worth more than Rozier, then he'll take it. But at the same time, if that doesn't pop up, I'm sure he'll just ride him out.
Yeah, and that's
and right. Figure it out in the offseason.
That's a great comparison, the one to Rondo. I think it's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. He just got the offer. He's like, oh, cool, yeah, three solid players. Jay Crowder obviously panned out to be a lot more than any fan expected. Maybe that's what.
Right.
But, you know, that turned into an awesome deal.
Yeah, and a pick that turned into Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's just all around, that was a really great deal. And so, you know, maybe December 7th, he gets a call from some random front office, and he goes, yeah, no, totally, let's do it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see.
Well, and I think all this interest, if anything, builds the market, right? Mm-hmm. So there's seven teams interested or whatever Shams is saying. So now it's like the Suns are like, oh, well, there's six other teams interested. Maybe we need to, if we really want this guy, which it sounds like they do, they're really going to have to throw something at Ainge.
Yeah, let's get DeAndre Ayton. Let's fix the problem.
I think that's a fair trade. We'll give him a second or two.
Celtics current big, Rob Williams, our big pick that we took this year, our first round pick. He did extremely well in this game in Maine. Picked up 10 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks. Looked pretty solid. Then flew to Indiana like the next night. So he made both his flights. That was a tweet that came out.
Definitely positives coming from that.
Definitely. He's been pretty cool so far. I've been pleasantly surprised by how he's been playing.
Yeah, I mean, his athleticism is off the charts. I mean, you can just tell. I mean, you know, there's been plenty of guys, though, that have athleticism off the charts and can't really figure it out. But, I mean, you know, he seems like he's, you know, there's some potential that he could make an impact later this year. You know, maybe not playing 20 minutes a game, but even just playing in small minutes and maybe grabbing big rebounds and making some. I mean, he's a good shot blocker. He could definitely make a difference on the floor in a limited role.
Is he a guy
even this season?
We've seen so many of our like highly touted players just dominate in Maine, in the G League. They just are unreal good. James Young, Jordan Mickey. You know, we've seen all these guys just like Jordan Mickey was putting up like triple doubles with blocks in Maine.
Right.
You know, it was unreal how well he played in Maine. Is Rob Williams one of those guys? I mean, he's doing well down there in the like one or two games that he's played. Do you see that translating to the NBA? He's been okay.
I mean, he's obviously doesn't look the same as when he's down there just mauling people, but, I mean, it's not a bad thing to do that though. Right. I mean, they're comfortable with him giving him the ball and playing him in a big role, and he's good down there. So, I mean, obviously when they're like Celtics top prospects get like first bidding and down there anyway. So, I mean, regardless of whatever the coach wants to do, those guys are going to play. But, I mean, it's not, can't hurt. Yeah. Right. I love the way, and they've been doing this for years. It's not like this is anything new, but I love the way that guys can go and play a game in Maine and then be up the next day.
I don't know how they do it. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. And I'm just glad that the NBA allows them to do that, you know, and there's not like some weird, because obviously it definitely helps the G League too, right? Put some butts in the seats up there. And it gives these guys a chance to play and yet still be a part of the NBA experience, even if they're not playing up there, right? Just traveling with the team and, you know, doing that. And especially for somebody like Rob Williams, like who they're, you know, any kind of issues with, you know, traveling, making planes, making flights and all that stuff, it kind of gives him like more to do, right? So it, you know, I don't know, it maybe helps break him in.
Yeah, no, I think that's so big for guys to get that time down there. And we saw, I mean, with Jabari Bird prior to all the stuff that's happened this offseason, that was really important for him. And he would play well in Maine, come up, and he had really good games with the Celtics and you know, good role with the Celtics. And so it's cool that he can go down there and he can spend that time down there and you know, really get a touch on playing at a professional level. Obviously, the competition is lower than it is up in the NBA, but, you know, good to see him put up those numbers, and hopefully it can translate over when he comes up.
Yeah, and playing at that game speed is, you know, even though, like you said, the competition's less, at least they're playing at the same, like, speed in terms of, like, people playing hard in a real game. Yeah. Little different than practice.
Did you see, I think it was Draymond Green said that Celtics are one of the few teams that they take seriously as far as a threat?
Well, they should, after we've beaten them how many times the last few years.
I need to confirm this. I say regularly, because I know, at least anecdotally, we always take one of two from them every season. Since Steve Kerr, we've always been 1-2. I believe that we have the best winning percentage.
One and one.
I believe that we have the best winning percentage against them in the Steve Kerr era.
Yeah, no, I would, over the last like 5 years, I think it's, I don't even think it's a question. It's got to be us. Because I'm pretty sure we have a 500 record against them.
I think so too. Because we haven't seen them in the finals or anything. And that's the only time.
We beat them even before we had like, before they had all their pieces in place, I think, and before we did, like,
yeah. Okay, so he came there in 2014,
right?
Yep, 14.
Stevens may have lost two the first year, because what team were we throwing out there at that point, right? But
true.
I don't know.
True, and that's before they were supposed to be like really.
I think we're 500 over the last four seasons.
We are.
Yeah,
we are.
So that has to be the best.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Nobody's gonna do research. Check out the hashtag CLPod, because we're gonna
investigate. We got the crack squad.
We will. That's gonna be awesome. But okay, so any other teams you think are threats to them besides the Celtics? Are we a threat based on what we've seen in the first 10 games that we've played?
Well, I mean, I think we can be a threat, right? Even looking at us now, what are we, 6-3?
6-4.
6-4, yeah, that's right. That last one took us out of that. You know, but even still, I mean, we're talking about beginning of the season. Like, you know, they're 10-1. They're off and rolling. You would think that the Rockets will figure it out, and they were so good last year, and they're a threat to them.
Yeah,
right?
I like
them. They're 4-5. I don't think that they're really that bad. We're 6-4. I'm not going to say that we're much better than a just over 500 team. So, you know, everybody's working out stuff in the beginning of the year. The Raptors look pretty good.
Oh, yeah, Raptors are really good.
I think the Bucks would be a problem for them if they can add another piece. I don't think they're quite there, but any team with Antetokounmpo, like, he, you know, who's going to guard him? I don't even think Draymond Green can guard him.
No, nobody can.
He's a problem. So if they can add another piece, because, I mean, Middleton, I don't think they quite have enough. But, you know, a lot of these teams, Raptors, Bucks, they're probably, you know, not far off of at least being competitive. Mm-hmm. I think the East got a lot better this year. In the West, though, I mean, aside from Houston, I mean, I'm not buying the Nuggets 9-1. They look
really
good, but I don't know.
I like that team a lot.
Well, I like them, but I still think they're kind of young. I could see them going into a series with the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals and just getting smoked just for being there for the first time.
They would match
right?
up pretty well.
They would, though. And Isaiah is going to be a huge boost to them, like sixth man coming off the bench, like scoring machine. If he's, you know, the same player, that's interesting. The Blazers, your squad here, they're playing pretty well this year. But, I mean, again, I don't think that they're – they played well last year, and we saw what happened.
All right, ready for this? I just decided Spurs will be a threat to them because they're going to be in the market for Terry Rozier because of Dejounte Murray.
No, there we go.
I'm on the trade machine right now trying to figure out what we could do, what kind of trade we could get for Terry Rozier from the Spurs. But I like that a lot because that Spurs are always a threat to do some things. And then they're going to pick up Tyree or Terry. I just combined Terry Rozier and Kyrie. But I don't know. We could trade straight up for Murray, the guy that got hurt, their point guard last season that got hurt. He's a good, solid guy.
Yeah.
Cheaper. Sure. I don't know. We need Justin. All right, fine. Whatever. I don't need this.
Yeah.
Last week. Bucks game. You had the recap, right?
For the Bucks game, yeah. Which was like, of course, every game I do is a close game, and it's like I have to right to the very end.
You just want one game where you can stay.
But I just want one blowout. Just give me a blowout.
That's how it ended.
Oh god, it's always. I thought it was going to overtime for sure. I was just like, Bucks game. I mean, we look good in that game. Not, I would say great, but they kept coming back into the game. We kept letting them back in. Franchise record for threes. Interesting. You know, they got hot, they got cold, they got hot again, and that's how they won. Giannis is an absolute. He's a monster. I don't even know what word. He's a problem. he's like we don't have like we have such a great defense, and like there's nobody to stop him. He's going to get his against us. We just have to hope when we play them, like Middleton doesn't also drop 30. and he was cold like the beginning of that game. And then he got hot in I think it was late in the third, fourth, whatever it was. And then that's how they got back in the game too. So, that was a big win though. Taking down the undefeated team. The guys on TNT were going crazy about that game.
Every time that Charles Barkley says the Celtics are going to lose, find a way to win.
Yeah,
that was that.
I'm pretty sure he picked us on Thursday, though. I think he did, and everyone was like, everyone was making a big deal. If I remember correctly, I don't know, but I could have sworn he did. But then the Indiana game, one that got away, obviously.
You should have won that one.
I mean, if we had finished that stretch, we'd be talking so much differently right now. Had we won that Indiana game, and then we would have won those. And we'd be 2-1 on that strip.
Like five game win streak. Games. Were we on a 4-game win streak? We were like 2-2.
Whoa! I mean, even if we had the loss to Denver, like I'm saying, we'd still feel so much better right now than coming off two straight losses, especially when one was like a heartbreaker like that. Because we went into Denver and we're playing; they were 8-1 at the time. It's not like we played three teams in a row, and their combined records when we played them were like what the Milwaukee was. I think 8-0, right? Indiana's like, what are they, 8-3 now, including that loss?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're ahead of us in the standings. So they are right now. They're 7-4. So, that's an extra win. Whatever that puts them half a game ahead of us. But I mean, we played. These are solid teams. Two of them on the road. You know, 1-2. It's not the end of the world, right? I'll be a little concerned if we come out tomorrow against Phoenix and.
Hey man, Phoenix is low key. They're good.
But...
They're low key a team you want to look out for, you know.
but three straight losses. Yeah, if we had
read 5 games.
Well, because then we got two tough games after that. We got Utah and Portland, so they have to win that game tomorrow.
Yes.
Because you can't have like a 5-game skid. Like,
yeah,
that's not good.
Is the grass greener? Let's talk about Jay Crowder on the Utah Jazz and Evan Turner, who I've interacted with on Twitter.
So Jay Crowder is playing the best he's played since he was on the Celtics.
Yeah, he's not a good. I like that. I was always a big Crowder fan. I've got a Crowder jersey.
Yeah, I know, me too. I always liked him, hustle guy. But right now he's almost identical stats to when he left Boston. So he was shooting. This is actually really close.
He's 0.01 less.
So 2016, 2017. This is the year, not the. This is the last full year that he was in Boston, right? and he was playing 32 minutes a game. He's playing 31 minutes this year. He was averaging 4.6 shots. He's averaging 4.7 this year. He was shooting field goals attempted 10 a game, 10.1, 46.3%, 46.2%, and then from three, he was just a shade under. He's just a shade under 40% in both. That's pretty great.
Taking more threes. Yeah, he's just a little
bit. Yeah, so he's averaging 14.5 points right now, and he was averaging just under 14 with the Celtics that year. Yeah. So, he got his game back, is what I'm saying. Like, remember he had that struggle when he first went to Cleveland, along with Isaiah.
Yeah.
And then last year he wasn't, you know, he wasn't great for the Utah either. So it's nice to see him. He's playing 31 minutes a game now. You know, I'm glad. I'd say the grass is just as green, if not greener, because if he was still here now, he wouldn't have that kind of a big role.
Yeah, the money, I think he would have gotten more money if we had been extending him. You know, if we had been paying him, I think he would have gotten more than he did in Utah. If we hadn't gone through the trade to get Kyrie and stuff, and we're still sitting with a similar roster,
right,
I think he would have gotten more money. So that's the only reason it'd be better.
Right.
But he, yeah. No, I really like what he's doing in Utah. Quinn Snyder and he just get along really well, seemingly. I think it's the same as he and Brad. They just worked out. And Buzz Williams on Marquette, because he played really well at Marquette. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
Yeah, no, I like what's going on. It's cool. It's cool to see him do well. But yeah, I think Grass is, he's good in either situation, but he's doing well, which is good to see. Evan Turner, the kid from the Ohio State University. he's Ohio State, like, Hall of Fame, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was third pick in that draft or second pick for Philly.
Yeah, yeah, he was on unreal high, and then he's playing for the Trailblazers. He's doing better than he has in the past couple seasons. And interestingly enough, on Basketball Reference, his position has changed to point guard this season from small forward. Check that out.
I'm looking at that right now. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so, less minutes. But, he's averaging 10 points, which is actually pretty solid. He was averaging 10.5 in his last season with the C's. And his shooting's better. He's actually playing better than he did in his last year with the Celtics.
Well, he's getting some boards here. He's averaging 5 rebounds a game and almost 4.5 assists. So I think they finally found out that Evan Turner is, like, you know, that's the way you utilize him, right?
Run the point. Not like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was jack of all trades kind of guy with us, you know. He came in, he was what, seventh, eighth man, and was just, you know, he's good at doing everything except shooting threes. But and you know what I mean? Like, he can score if you need him to. Remember, he had a couple big explosive games.
Well,
he was
that's what he was really good at, was scoring. I mean, he just
didn't... and like those Kobe-esque turnaround jump shots, like, he could hit them. Like, he could find his own shot in games when the offense wasn't going.
He reminds me a lot of Marcus Morris. Like, in the role that he has for the Celtics. So just like, you were going to be a scorer.
Okay.
And
except he can't stretch the
floor.
Well,
yeah. But, you know, I mean.
He's a better ball handler.
Sure. Okay, fine. Never mind. Bad comparison. Jeez.
Wow. Well, no. It's not a bad comparison. No, in terms of the role that he plays, Morris does. He's a little bit better ball handler, but he can't shoot threes. But he fills in similar role, right? The guy that kind of does whatever you need him to do.
He's shooting 22% for three. Come on.
I think I could shoot better than 22%.
We're gonna have a shoot. Let's go. Let's hit the black top. Let's go out there.
Let's check it
out. All right. Well, everybody should check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com, where we have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store, and you can even get tickets to the next game under that heading. Go to the West Coast. Go see them in Portland. Go see Evan Turner.
You can find the pod on Wooshka, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to rate us 5 stars, please. And if you don't like something or have a suggestion, make sure you let us know with a comment on any Celtics Life article or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod. We're always trying to bring you guys the Celtics coverage you want the way you like it.
Yeah, we're posting that shootout on Twitter when we go take the – see if you get 22%.
I like it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Let's go. Later, guys.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.